The gospel for today is found in Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 through 39. And if you'd like to follow along, that's found on page 975 in your Bible. Am I loud enough? Can everybody hear me okay? I usually don't have an issue with that. Okay. Starting with verse 24, the student is not above the teacher, nor the servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teacher, and servants like their master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of the household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Here ends today's gospel. I hate to tell you this, but I will be neither today. Yeah. This is also a very serious portion as we go through the Matthew chapter 10, in where Jesus is addressing his disciples, and this in many versions is called the ordination sermon. This is where he ordains his disciples on what their job will be, what their work will be, as he will be leaving the earth, and it will be their job to basically pick up the cross, and they will have to continue his work. And the message in Matthew 10 is that of, this is not going to be easy. This is going to be hard. You are going to suffer. You're going to be tormented. You're going to be persecuted. That's what today's lesson is about. The good news is that when we get to the end of it, the message is positive, that you can handle this. You can take care of this. You have the strength through Jesus to make this happen. So as we go through the 10th chapter of Matthew today, keep that in mind as the drudgery of listening to all the things that are bad start to weigh you down. The good news is God's right alongside you, and he will carry you through this, and he will give you the strength to make sure that you have what you need to make it through. So let's start today. The verses in Matthew 10 relate to the sufferings of Jesus' ministers, their work that they're going to have to do. They are all taught that they're going to have to expect and actually prepare for their direction that they're going to be sent and the suffering that's going to be put upon them as they move along. So as we start with Matthew, we'll start with verse number 24. Jesus lays down some very specific and alarming warnings and instructions to his band of followers. By the time Jesus summons his apostles to go out to preach in Galilee, they had already seen some astounding, miraculous things done by Jesus. They had seen the miracles that Jesus had performed, the way that people had rallied around him, the thousands coming to listen to him speak. But they had also gotten a glimpse of the opposition that Jesus had faced, and that later they themselves would have to face. Jesus' warning about the upcoming persecution of his disciples was prophetic. The first Christians faced triple persecution, first from the Romans, and if that wasn't enough, then from the Jews. And if that wasn't enough, from their own families, their own communities, their own villages. Just as Jesus was hated for bearing witness to the truth, so also Christians were hated for their loyalty to Jesus. a little history lesson here. The Christians ended up being persecuted and ridiculed up until the time of Constantine in 315 AD, when he turned the official religion for Constantine's Christian empire to the Christian faith. But the deal is that the Christians are still persecuted, and they still are today. The treatment throughout history of Christians has always been one of persecution and ridicule by governments, by cultures, anyone that disagreed with or didn't understand the very concepts of Christianity. So in verse 24, Jesus says, "A disciple is not above their teacher, not a slave above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he become his teacher, and the slave become his master. If they are called the head of the house, Beelzebul, which means master of the house, how much more the members of the household?" The message here in verse 24 is this: if they expected to share in the glory of God, in the glory of Jesus, they also had to expect to inherit his sufferings. But even as he imparts these foreboding words of warning on them, he also offers words of consolation that they can take and draw courage from. The message he offered extends to saints even today. The message is quite simple. Saints suffer, but the Father knows and he cares. We as disciples know that we are beneath the stature of Jesus, and our goal is to learn as much as we can from him, about him. He's provided us with a Bible so that we can do that. To absorb into ourselves his wisdom, his way of loving. The goal for us as Christians is to become Christ-like, to embody the wisdom and ways of Jesus into our own being. Christ is to be our master, and we are to be his slaves. We are to belong to Christ. Jesus continued and said, "Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known." The reason for this? Well, God already sees all. The disciples were not to fear the Roman authorities, the Jewish authorities, even their own divisions within their family, rather to fear and love God above all things. These teachings still relevant today. That is, today we often have our fears of the government, of even the church, of our friends, our families, the crowds, our social standing, our monetary standing. So often we keep our mouth shut and we hide the safety of silence because we are afraid of the rejection and the conflict that it can cause. It's much easier sometimes to just be quiet and to go along and to not make waves. And Jesus is saying that that is not the way. We do not have the courage to be truthful at times. That courage can only be drawn from God. For nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. God already knows. Jesus continues in his verses in Matthew 10. "What I say to you in the dark, I tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops." At the time that the Gospels were written, and that's somewhere between 50 and 70 AD, the kingdom of Christ was just becoming known. The gospel and the kingdom were in the shadows of history and soon would be known and spread throughout the whole world. But right now, it was mainly rumors about Jesus and his kingdom. They're being whispered around the countryside. But there would come a time when the truth about Jesus would be needed to be shouted from the rooftops so that all of the world would know the truth about Jesus. The scriptures say that time is now. Now is the time to proclaim from the rooftops and the hilltops the truth about Jesus and his kingdom. And Jesus added, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul." Trying to prepare us for the idea of we are his disciples, not disciples of the world. A faithful saint, one that believes in Jesus, will recognize this. To be like God, he'll have to take the punishment that comes with the territory, knowing that his faithfulness will help him keep in the Father's favor. Even when faced with the prospect of death for his union with Jesus, and testimony of the gospel, the diligent disciple knows that his earthly demise only hastens his reward promised by the Savior. Well, that sounds easy enough, but of course it's not. The Lord has promised that there will be no test, no trial, no temptation that his followers cannot overcome if his followers just lean on him for support. Jesus continues with, rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Here's where we start to get drugged down a little bit. Martin Luther taught that we are to fear and love God above all things. He taught that there is this perplexing paradox. We talk about the paradox quite a bit in church. Our relationship with God, because we both fear God and love God. We stand in awe before God. We often stand breathless before the majesty, especially here in Alaska, of the mountains and the rivers and the forests and the animals. We take in the skies that are created by God, the infinity of the universe that expands before us. You can watch the stars at night and the northern lights. We know that we are mere dust in God's universe, a drop in God's vast ocean. But at the same time, we realize that God loves us and can punish us. That's all part of it. This place of everlasting punishment in the Jewish, or in the Lutheran theology, is called hell. According to Pastor Edward Marquardt, the Lutheran theological terms, this treatment of punishment is called the law. The law is a threat of punishment that is to drive us to Christ for his forgiveness. The law threatens us. The gospel promises life and God's goodness to us. There's our paradox once again. Marquardt states that Lutherans have a theological way of thinking called the law and the gospel. We experience the law whenever we're confronted with the demands of God and the accusations and the threats and the threat of God that will destroy both the body and the soul. But God assures us and promises us that we are more valuable than any insignificant sparrow and that the numbers of hairs on our head are accounted for in his mind and heart of God. That is the gospel for the Lutherans, the gospel and the law. God speaks to us with both the law and the gospel, with both the threat of punishment and the promise of forgiveness and everlasting life. God sees each of us through loving eyes, each of us valued and counted, as Jesus states, and even the hairs on your head are counted. For many of us, he doesn't have to count as high as he used to. Okay, I got one in. Both Matthew and Luke in their Gospels record that all the hairs on the head are numbered. In other words, God knows the littlest details of our life, and we deeply appreciate that. Knowing that we as human beings live in a vast, expanding universe, it is a miracle beyond comprehension to say that our God is a personal God. This God behind the universe is so personal that this God knows every hair on my head. So do not be afraid. You are more valuable than the sparrows. We are not to be afraid of persecution of governments, culture, family, friends, because we, as human beings, are valuable to God. At the heart of faith is the belief that God is, that God is with us, that God has not forgotten us, that God is involved in our daily lives. In verse 32, Jesus continues with his desire for his disciples. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. The truth is quite simple. Because Jesus teaches us that God knows us better than the sparrows, we as his disciples are to publicly acknowledge and profess our allegiance to Jesus Christ, to our friends, to our families, to our neighbors, to strangers. As a Christian speaks well of Jesus by word and deed on this earth, so then Jesus will speak well of that Christian before God in heaven. One of the references to Pastor Marquardt, he said that in Matthew, the pronoun I, here's my English teacher thing going on, the pronoun I, rather than the word Son of Man, is used in this verse. He said it is the only example in the entire New Testament where the phrase Son of Man is replaced by the word I. Son of Man is always referred to in the third person on the lips of Jesus, except in this one passage in Matthew, where the correlation between Jesus, God, man, is all referred to as I. Kind of interesting. Jesus follows now. Well, here's the hammer of the sermon. Okay. Here comes the Lutheran law. There is condemnation for those people who cover up that they are Christians, who cover up that they belong to Christ and are followers of Christ, who cover up that they embrace his wisdom and his ways. It is not enough to be a secret Christian who secretly and invisibly follows Christ. We are to be public Christians. That is, people around us are to know that we are followers of Christ. We are willing to share the abundance that Christ gives and also to endure the ridicule and suffering that may be given to us because we are Christians. The hardest part of this whole verse with Matthew in chapter 10 is the part that comes up next. It's a part that many times you get bogged down in and you have trouble breaking away from. So take the next portion of what it is said in Matthew for how Jesus meant it, not for maybe how we interpret it. What Jesus is trying to say is to be a disciple of me is hard. And you're going to run into people who are going to disagree with you and are going to punish you and are going to make your life miserable. And those people may be the people closest to you because they don't understand. They have not yet turned to Jesus. So if you remember that in those terms, this portion of Matthew becomes a little bit easier. Do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come in turn, a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be members of their own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. What Matthew is trying to say is that if you step up and you follow Jesus, you might be the only one in your family. This might break apart a husband and a wife, a man and his mother. Families will be divided, but you have to stand strong and you have to follow Jesus for your beliefs. Okay? People around you may not believe the same way you do, and it may cause division. And if it does, be strong. Continue to follow Jesus. The Word of God counsels us that we are to love God even more deeply than our families. This does not diminish our love of our family, but enhances that love through sharing God with others. In all of this, the demands of discipleship are extremely high, and so is the courage required and provided by God. He who asks us to lose our lives for His sake also offers us the strength we need to live for Christ. Kenneth Chumley wrote that Jesus reminds that there's a relationship and association that transcends even those that are nearest and dearest to us on earth. The Lord said that when we confess Him, own Him, identify Him, He in turn owns us before the Father, and in being confessed before Him, we have life, real, lasting life. At the heart of faith is the belief that God is, that God is with us, that God has not forgotten us, and that God is involved in our daily lives. Amen. Please stand. Our hymn is hymn number 758. You are on the way. You'll find that in your red hymnals.